I just, you know, I'm not trying to create an inequity and...
Mr. Chairman, I would move we, on lines 19 and 20, that we go back to the original language. And we strike 65 and 74 from the dash 7 amendments and reinsert the original figures.
How much were they? 80 and 99?
What would those original figures be again?
It'd be 90 for salmon troll and 99 for gillnet, which brings both permits to $100.
So we're going up to 5 cents a pound.
How about the poundage of salmon fawbush?
Poundage on the Ore Aqua folks?
No.
No.
The nickel versus 0.037.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry. That's, and that one, too.
Okay. Senator Favish moves that the original language in printed bill line 19, line 20, and line 24 be restored. All clear on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, if there's not a sentiment for it, I'll withdraw it. I don't want to put people on the spot.
Any objections to withdrawing the motion?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Where are we at? Senator Cairns.
I assume the bill is now ready for a motion to send it on its merry way to Ways and Means?
Well, actually, I'm going to ask our counsel to try to give us the language or make sure we understand the conceptual amendment that was proposed to Section 8 as it related to those donated gifts.
Oh, yeah, right. Parsing the gifts to the windfall.
All right, I'd ask you to refer to, well, we're all working off the hand of course. I'm working off the dash 7, the true amendments, which is what council will be working off of. But nevertheless, it would just add the monies after the section that talks about gifts, add another sentence. These monies shall be recommended for expenditure by the board in the same manner as in subsection 5 of this section, which is describes how the lottery money will be spent.
Good. Unless otherwise directed by the benefactor.
Yeah. Unless otherwise directed by the benefactor.
Benefactor or grant source or whatever. Some weasel words. Yeah, okay.
Okay, why don't you read that one more time and then we'll accept that as a motion.
This goes in again at the end of the amendments, the section on gifts, and turn another sentence after. It'll be line 27 on the third page of the hand engrossed amendments.
Fourth page
of the hand engrossed amendments. These monies shall be recommended for expenditure by the board in the same manner as in subsection 5 of this section, unless otherwise directed by the source of the grant. Or
by the grantor.
Bingo.
Grantor.
Okay, that's close enough. It is so moved.
I'm so moved.
Is it? Thank you. Is there any objection to that addition? If not, that'll be adopted. We've got the dash 7 amendments as further amended. I think the motion, Senator Bradbury,
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee adopt the dash 7 amendments as amended by a number of actions here.
Okay. Senator Bradbury moves the dash 7 amendments as previously amended. Is there further discussion, Senator Cairns?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bradbury's done a lot of work in getting this bill in the shape to be able to get it moving on its way, and I think we all appreciate his work. Dealing with a tough bunch of people who gave him not one inch of ground throughout the whole thing, and ended up bringing us this bill, which a lot of people still didn't agree with and still weren't happy with, and now it's about to get out of here and move on its way, and people have to live with that. My interest is in raising the money and in enhancing the resource. And I hate voting against things that do that when people come here and ask me to raise it. But what you've got is a situation where that's married to something else, and that's a process for the distribution of those monies. And if it were just raising, that's an odd place to be. You say, I'll vote to raise your money, I mean the money you pay, but I don't want to vote for a new process to allocate it. And that's where I am. I've got two things in one bill. I want to raise the money. I don't want to vote for the new process to allocate it. Just like everybody else, that I don't want my decision to not vote for the new process of allocating it be taken as a full faith and credit in the department or the commission and say that they should get a blank check with all these monies and go forth and do good with them. Because I'm like a lot of other people, I've had problems with the department and the commission over the years, and I'm not one of their greatest fans either. But I think we really set a precedent here by saying we're going to create two boards. Well, one a commission and a board, but both of them have got absolute power over the other one to allocate the money. And if they don't agree, then it doesn't happen. So what we've got is the commission having to really be in a power-sharing arrangement with this new board, which we've created by statute. That's really what's going on. And when things get to that point, I think what we really ought to do is find some way to clean house at the department and the commission. Because what we've done with the statute at that point is saying, I may not have full faith in them, but what we've done with the statute is saying, we have such little faith in the mechanisms and the law that govern, that allocate these monies, we have so little faith in those processes that we won't sign up for a nickel more unless we get something that really neuters the commission and its power over these money. That's really what we're doing. Okay. And Senator Bradbury is doing something that's very practical and pragmatic, advancing this bill with that in there, moving it through the pipeline, getting the money. Resources will be enhanced. The problem is we may have set a precedent here that is real difficult to live with over time as people come along and say, okay, well, let's emulate that one. Here's one where we did that. Let's do it again over here. And then I got to tell a story on myself, and then I'll shut up. I did exactly the same thing, or tried to do exactly the same thing as being done here with the Department of Economic Development in creation of a small business assistance division for that and really carve out part of their budget for small business, on behalf of all the small business interests in the state, who had zero faith in the commission or the department to ever recognize the needs of small business as opposed to big-time developers. Same kind of battle you got going on here. And we put in a bill that simply used the department as a mail drop for small business and gave them the ability to send their budget to Ways and Means without going to the director and giving the commission the right to oversee their budget but not veto it was really quite a business. Of course, that bill didn't get out. But what happened as a result of all the ferment, there was a complete house cleaning over there, and the commission changed over within two years. And those folks who really were backing that bill actually picked out the real target, which was, hey, the people who run this department don't understand and wouldn't recognize a small business or wouldn't know how to help one, and the same was true of the commission, and we have to change that. So it's kind of funny. I argued for exactly the same thing there and was unsuccessful in doing it, and I guess I'd argue against doing it here, recognizing that it's probably going to be successful.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Favish and Senator Bunn.
I thought he was. I'm not. There's a technical. I just want to be sure that we understand what we're doing on Section 8 on the language chain that allocates money that comes in from its source. What are you going to do with the money that comes in from ORAQUA if you can't directly enhance them? I mean, how are they going to fit into this process? Because we heard from the department that what they're doing seems to be adequate. They don't seem to be directly related to this. And I'm wondering if they are just going to be lumped in, if I assume this 5 cents per pound, they're going to be treated like any other commercial operation, and their fees are going to go in, and they will then accrue to the commercial side. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me. Senator Bradbury, do you want to try to respond, or?
That was me.
Oh, excuse me, Senator Brenneman.
Perhaps we could dedicate it to a fund to make a payment to ORD ETC.
You may have to.
Got my attention. Maybe even about.
Okay. I mean, I'm not in a position to help you out of that, but I just think you need to. I assume that you're going to work your way on it down in Ways and Means, and.
Well, Mr. Chairman, a question to follow up that question, then not a statement, but a question. How do we allocate the salmon ranching folks' contribution? How do we do the? What do we do with their money under this bill? Where does it go? How does it get allocated as the bill now stands?
As the bill now stands, it is part of the fees that come in from the commercial fishing industry, and it would be spent on programs to benefit the commercial fishing industry.
All right.
I'm just reading the bill.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, another question.
Senator Cairns.
Actually, a question to Senator Bradbury. I assume that... that given the fact that Ways and Means doesn't engage in policy decisions, but only engages in I almost can't say this. Only in appropriations, that if this is changed in Ways and Means Committee, it comes back out to the floor, we'll look at it. We'll find the bill as it goes as far as the policy questions are concerned, but... The adjustments might be on the income level from different groups. Would that be safe to say?
Well, I think that'd be reasonably safe to say.
So that if the bill goes out of here with a $100,000 contribution from the Oraqua folks, we could assume that would come back that way from Ways and Means, and that the
I mean, I guess I don't want to speak for Ways and Means. It seems to me one of the issues that Ways and Means has to deal with is the levels of fees on everybody, commercial, sport, aquaculture, and the expenditure of those fees. I mean, those are issues that the Ways and you understand this. Those are the issues that the Ways and Means Committee needs to deal with.
I was just wanted to know.
Okay. Any further questions? Any further discussion or comment? Okay, the question is on the motion to adopt the -7 amendments, and we're working off this hand and gross version of those -7 amendments as amended. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Benn?
Aye.
Senator Pavlich?
No.
Senator Cairns?
No.
Attorney Kintai?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Bill is amended. Senator Bradbury.
I would move Senate Bill 41 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bradbury moves Senate Bill 41 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Benn?
No.
Senator Pavlich?
Oh, no.
Senator Cairns?
No.
Senator Kintai?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
This is the Death March School of.
My fault.
Just wait till we get to Opal Creek.
I have no intention of going to Opal Creek.
Okay, we do have another bill up
for hearing this evening.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I hope you can forgive me. I've had a T&E lottery committee meeting at 5:30, and I'd like to go down to it. I'm supposed to be one of those sitting in tonight. We split up our duties amongst three nights here. Thank you.
Okay. Understood.
Mr. Chairman, I also have a prior commitment.
Is that fine?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Senator Brennan and Senator Bunn are excused. We'll take a couple moments here to sort of regroup. Why don't we be in recess briefly for just a few minutes and return with the remaining bill on our agenda. Ag and Natural Resources Committee, I'll come back to order, please. We've got up on our agenda Senate Bill 576. And let's ask the proponents to come forward, please.
Good bill, Chapin.
Okay, please be sure to identify yourself for the record, and welcome, and thank you for your patience this evening.
Gee, I'd like to say good afternoon. For the record, my name is Phil Barrett. I'm the executive director of the Solar Energy Association of Oregon. I've come today to ask your support for Senate Bill 576 relating to global warming. Before I get into my testimony, I would like to mention that the Sierra Club of Oregon, OSPIRG, and Citizens for Better Transit have all endorsed this bill. Attached to my testimony at the very back is the comments from Citizens for Better Transit talking about transportation and global warming. We believe that global warming is a very serious issue. It presents a real and substantial threat to society. We've been seeing more scientific evidence lately that human activities potentially could cause permanent degradation of the natural resource base that we pass on to future generations. We've got a very complex scientific, very complex system to try to analyze scientifically in the biosphere, atmosphere. So there's a lot of uncertainty that we're dealing with. Nonetheless, given the risk that we face of catastrophic societal impacts, and given the what appears to be a very long lag time between the emission of greenhouse gases and the eventual appearance of climate changes, we feel that it's necessary to begin right now taking steps, making public policy changes to reduce the emission of greenhouse gases. We hope that Oregon will be able to play a leadership role among the states on global warming, and we think that by the adoption of Senate Bill 576 that the state will be able to do so. My written testimony includes a lot of information about ways of looking at global warming and trying to come to a full understanding of it. Given the hour, I'll pass through that and ask you to read it when you get a chance. I'll skip back to about page 6, I think, of my testimony and talk about the bill itself, specific provisions of it. The bill focuses on energy. Energy is not the sole source of greenhouse gases. All of the greenhouse gases are produced both through energy-related processes and non-energy-related processes. Nonetheless, energy is the largest source of the greenhouse gases. And because of that, and because we do have a lot of knowledge about substitutes that are available for fossil fuels, we think it's worthwhile to pull out energy resources as a focus for this legislation. Oregon isn't particularly better or worse than other states in its emissions of greenhouse gases when you take into consideration out-of-state electricity that's produced by coal and brought into Oregon. Oregon's CO2 emissions are approximately 58% from transportation fuels, 32% from coal, which is imported in the form of electricity, and 10% from natural gas. We would like to see one amendment to Senate Bill 576, which I have attached as the second to the last page of my testimony here. What the amendment addresses is the fact that Oregon can deal with emissions of greenhouse gases beyond the borders of the state by practicing energy conservation within the state. And I tried to draft an amendment that would make it clear that we should consider emissions both within and beyond Oregon. The second thing that Senate Bill 576 does, besides focusing on energy, is it has an emphasis on planning. It amends the statutes, provisions in the statute that require the Oregon Department of Energy to produce a biennial energy plan. It's possible, I mean, we could come in here and do a lot of things that would immediately clamp down on, be disincentives to the production, the emission of greenhouse gases through regulatory and taxation authority in the states. But we feel that in the long run, we'll probably end up with a better effort if we take some time to put together a well-coordinated plan that builds a measure of public consensus that'll be necessary to make sure that it will be implemented in a timely fashion. We think that it's also necessary to incorporate this as a regular feature of the biennial energy plan every 2 years, because our knowledge of global warming is going to be changing, and it'll be important for us to reevaluate our strategy on a regular basis as more knowledge is developed. One key element of Senate Bill 576 is that it establishes an emission reduction goal. I think there are two reasons why it's important for the legislature to include an emission reduction goal right now. The first is that it'll settle the issue of what is an appropriate emission goal. Nobody knows. Nobody will know for probably 5 to 10 years before we have adequate scientific basis to say this is how much we need to reduce CO2 and other greenhouse gas emissions by this time to be able to avoid unacceptable impacts. What I've proposed is basically the most conservative emissions reduction goal that has been recognized in various forums in the last 9 months when this has been discussed. But even though it is very conservative, it presents very real policy challenges given the political and economic power of some of the institutions that have vested financial interests in the status quo of the energy economy. It's going to be a very, very difficult task to accomplish any kind of reduction in CO2 emissions. The other reason to put in a reduction goal in the bill is because it will provide an evaluation target. We'll be able, as time goes on, to take a look at where we were in 1988 and where we are at any point in time to be able to see if we have indeed made progress.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Excuse me, Senator Cairns.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Certainly.
Question to the chair. Do we have other witnesses you're going to sign up? How many? I mean, we're going to apply.
Yes, we've got Mr. Marbette. We had Jamal Condry. Don't know if that individual's still here. Apparently he had to leave. We had a couple other folks left. No one else. We had Mr. Graney signed up. He had to leave.
That was the question I had, was the department. Did they earlier testify and give us a position? They were in favor of the bill. Is that not correct? Did they express themselves as being neutral or positive? I can't recall.
Mr. Novick.
It leads to my next question.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Tom Novick. Senator Cairns, when the representative from the Department of Energy left to attend his 3-year-old's birthday party, he said that it was fine with them. The bill was okay. They had no problem with it.
Okay. So my question then is to, in developing the emission reduction plan with the department, I assume that they have also, or you have also, spoken to the Department of Transportation, the LCDC, and the EQC, Public Utility Commission, and Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council.
and that we've got some indication of their position on it also? Do we know? Or are we just, we're just going to do this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cairns, there is in the works now a planning group that was beginning to address the issue of global warming, which was drawn together by the governor under the auspices of Gail Ackerman, with the Department of Energy playing the lead role.
With these same cast of characters?
Yes. My understanding is, other than the Northwest Power Planning Council, I don't know if they've been involved with that working group so far.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
I had another question, whether the witnesses wanted to testify or whether we could go into work session, adopt the amendment, and get the bill out of here. Their choice, I suppose.
We'd be happy with that, I would think.
I don't know about Mr. Marbet.
I have another amendment for both.
Oh.
Okay. Mr. Novick? Mr. Barrett, did you have anything to add at this point?
No, at the last part of my testimony identified the five elements that I would expect to see in a strategy that came out of the Department of Energy, but that is there for the record if you care to take a look at it.
Great job to you. Mr.
Mr. Chairman.
Solar Energy Association of Oregon?
Yes,
that's fine.
To alert the solar energy folks and others who are interested in this matter, I've got a bill draft, which I don't have the LC, but I'm going to drop here in the next day or so, which says that the fleet fuel efficiency in Oregon for new cars shall be 50 miles per gallon, and that that kicks in as soon as 10% of the states representing 10% or more of the market of new car fleet adopt the same standard, which is how we got started the first time when California said enough is enough. So
okay,
that might be make a major contribution to that, and I'd like to make sure we don't lose sight of that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Marbet.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and the dwindling members of the audience, my name is Lloyd Marbet, and I represent the Four Laws on Board Foundation and the Don't Waste Oregon Committee. I have two pages of testimony, which starts right out with a proposed amendment. I'm going to even make it briefer than the two pages. I just want to talk to what I think is a problem with the whole CO2 concept, and that is it is becoming, at least it looks on the horizon, more and more of an excuse to push nuclear power. And I don't want to see one energy resource with environmental degradation substituted for another energy resource with environmental degradation. I believe that one of the far-reaching things that can be done here is to add this amendment, which would require that conservation and renewable resources are what are to be considered to reduce that 20% of emissions. And I've talked this over with Phil, and he would like to put language at the end of that sentence, which would read, with highest priority given to conservation and renewable resources. But I don't even want to leave that window open. I would like, and I would hope that this committee would run with the language that we propose. I think it will put the Oregon Department of Energy in business addressing our future from a holistic standpoint, and I would ask that you would adopt our amendment.
Okay, so your language, Mr. Chairman, if I may,
is
just the bold-faced line.
My language is the bold-faced line.
With the use of conservation and renewable resources.
And Phil's proposed language is would come at the after the year 2005, and he can jump on me if he likes.
What would it say?
It would say, with highest priority given to conservation and renewable resources at the end.
Which would give the nuke second standing.
Yes, and I don't even want the second stand. I think we've got to be serious about these problems that we're facing, and that doesn't mean that we put ourselves in a position where we allow ourselves to be blackmailed into one kind of environmental degradation or another. I think we have to be serious about this, and it's time the conservation and renewable resources were given the push that they deserve, and I think this amendment would do it.
I see an awful lot of advertising, Mr. Chairman, in all the national publications, especially those in the Harper's Atlantic and some others that are aiming to convince the public, or at least the opinion leaders of this country, that we've got to return to nuclear for all the reasons that stated. In fact, I saw a pro-nuclear, anti-greenhouse ad here in one of the publications I subscribe to, and I just I said, aha.
Uh-huh.
Aha.
Right.
So.
It's definitely question, out there.
Okay. A question, Mr. Barrett, if he's got an objection to the use of conservation and renewable resources.
I have no objection. If you look at my testimony, you'll see that it's That's very clear that energy efficiency and renewable energy resources are the key to our sustainable energy future, which is what my organization is all about. My my only concern is that not only does Mr. Marbet's language give second place to nuclear, it gives second place to other strategies that we may need to fall back on, such as using natural gas as a transitional fuel, possibly, and also some of the high efficiency energy resources where you can do cogeneration and instead of having a 35% conversion efficiency, get 75-80% conversion efficiencies. You may have low temperature geothermal with heat pump assists where you've got electricity involved. It's really an electrical technology, but it's vastly preferable to burning a coal plant. And so that's,
well, sure, that's true.
A little flexibility that I think probably should
about be what was your language at the end of after the year 2000? You would suggest that we say what?
Giving the highest priority to conservation and renewable resources.
How about and?